All right, you've got your architect's beautiful design in hand, permits approved, ready to build, and you send the plans out to contractors for bids. And every single one comes back $200,000 over your budget. Now what? That's the moment when homeowners realize they should have shared their real budget number from day one. Because in the self-guided path today we're going to be talking about, coordinating budget between architect and the contractor, that's your job. I'm Bill Reed, and today on The Awakened Homeowner, we're talking about the self-guided path, when it's brilliant, when it's a disaster, and how to know the difference. Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here, we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork. Just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. All right, welcome back to The Awakened Homeowner. I'm Bill Reed, your home building coach. And if you listened to last week's episode, episode 42, you know we talked all about what I called the guided path, what most people call the design build process or design build construction, where one company acts like your travel guide and handles your entire building journey from concept to completion. Well, today we're flipping the script. We're talking about the self-guided path, what the industry calls the traditional construction, or it could be called design bid build process, where you plan your own trip. You're booking your own flights. You're researching your own hotels. You're mapping out what to see in each city, and you're coordinating everything yourself. And here's the thing, both paths can get you to an amazing destination, but the experience of getting there, completely different. The skills required, completely different. And whether you should choose one over the other, that depends entirely on who you are, what kind of project you're tackling, and honestly, how much you enjoy or can tolerate being in the thick of things in a space you probably have never been. And here's the thing. So by the end of this episode, we're going to understand exactly what the self-guided path involves, when it's actually the better choice, not just the cheaper one, and most importantly, how to know if you were really cut out for it. Because here's what I've learned in 35 years. Taking the self-guided path when you're not prepared for it is like backpacking through Europe with no experience, no language skills, and no backup plan. It can be done, but man, it can also turn into disaster real quick. So let's go ahead and dig into this episode. Okay. So what exactly is the self-guided path? Let me give you the travel version first, and then we'll get into the construction reality. With the self-guided path, you're planning your own European vacation. You're not hiring a travel company to arrange everything. Instead, you're researching flights, you're booking hotels, you're mapping out daily itineraries, you're coordinating transportation between cities, and you're making sure everything connects properly. You have total control over where you go, where you stay, and what you experience. But you're also responsible when the train schedule changes, when the hotels are overbooked, or when you realize you accidentally booked hotels in two cities 400 miles apart on the same night, right? Now, let's translate that into construction. I call this the three-phase reality. In construction terms, the self-guided path, which the industry calls the traditional construction or design bid build, happens in three distinct phases, and this is really important for you to understand. Phase one is the design aspect of a project. You hire an architect or a designer independently. It's possible that you may have interfaced with a home builder to begin with, but ultimately, unless you're buying some pre-packaged home design, ultimately you end up working with an architect or some type of designer to design your home. They create your plans, your specifications, your construction documents. They work for you. not a builder. They are focused entirely on translating your vision into a complete set of buildable plans. That's phase one, design. Phase two is the bidding process. And as we get deeper into this journey of mine, the Awaken Homeowner journey, I'm going to have multiple episodes on the bidding process, but I'm going to just introduce it here because if you're going to go it alone, if you're going to go on your own, if you're going to do the self-guided path, the bidding process, you will be right immersed in the middle of it. And once the design is complete, and I mean 100% complete, and if you've listened to previous episodes, I'm talking about architectural design, structural engineering, all of the consultants have provided their work, and they are assembling an entire, what I call a bid package for you, so that you can distribute that to different builders to get comparable prices. So sometimes the plans are even permitted, and we'll talk about that and how deep you should go with the plans before you get bidding. But essentially, these plans are ready to build. You send those plans out to multiple contractors for competitive bids. They provide pricing based on the completed design. They're seeing the finished product on paper and telling you what it'll cost to build. That's phase two. So phase one is design. Phase two is bid. Phase three is build. You select a contractor based on their bid, their qualifications, their timeline. You sign a contract and construction begins. At this point, the design phase is basically done. Changes now cost money in the form of the infamous word change orders. So here's the critical detail. These phases happen sequentially, not simultaneously. Design finishes before bidding starts. Bidding finishes before building starts. There's no real overlap. There are a few ways that you can protect yourself during the design process that I did talk about in the design process little mini series I did, and that's called budget checkpoints. And you can go back and listen to those during the early design process episodes that I did, because there is a way, kind of like a hybrid version of what I'm talking about, between the guided design build process and the self-guided process where you are right in the middle of everything. So as you can see, this is going to be very different from the guided path we talked about last week, where design and construction teams work together from day one. Now in my book, in the prologue, I tell the story of two couples, Ben and Jane versus the McMillans, and Ben and Jane took the self-guided path. They hired an architect independently. I called him Bob the Gatekeeper. But here's what happened. Ben and Jane never shared their real budget number with Bob. They said things like, "We want the best and we'll figure out the budget as we go." Bob designed to their wish list. Beautiful plans, complex features, premium everything. And then when the bids came in, Ben and Jane were shocked, way over what they could actually afford. This is actually a chronic problem in this business. And this is going to be a big part of my mission with the Awakened Homeowner, is to not get yourself into that position. And that is what all of these previous episodes have been about, is going through the discovery period, we'll call it, early on, and deciding which path you want to take. And that's what we're doing today. We're talking about two different primary paths that you can take to protect yourself. So now who's at fault here? Both of them. Ben and Jane didn't communicate their budget clearly and honestly. Bob didn't force that budget conversation early enough. In the self-guided path, you as the homeowner must drive budget transparency from day one. That's your responsibility. Professional architects will make that a priority, but a lot of times it can get pushed to the wayside for one reason or another, and a lot of it is almost subconscious because the designer does not feel that the budget is at the top priority of the homeowner and really enjoys designing, so they're going to create a masterpiece. But the good ones really do genuinely want to understand how much you want to invest in a project, because even though they might be getting paid, they're wasting their time if you're not going to ever build this project, and they could be spending their time with other clientele that have more realistic budgets. So that is a really big message here, is that in both paths, actually, you really need to understand how much you want to invest in your project. We call it budget. I call it investment. They're kind of the same thing, but not really. And you getting a grip on that is going to help guide your design team. So the McMillans in this story, they had an integrated team coordination. So budget was being validated throughout the design process, and there were no surprises. So think of yourself as a general manager when you're doing this self-guided path, and we're going to just keep digging deeper on this, and that you are literally in the middle of the process, whereas in the previous design build guided solution, you're kind of in the peripheral. You're letting the design and the construction team kind of fight it out for you. So that's the framework, three phases, each handled independently. But here's where it gets real. In this model, guess who sits in the middle coordinating all three phases? Like I said, that's you. You are in the middle. And if you're going to be in the middle, my suggestion is don't do it unless you've had experience, at least one of you and your spouse has had experience, or that you have an architect that you can really, really trust to help you. It's not necessarily a bad thing to choose the self-guided path. It actually can be a very good thing if you're prepared for it. But let's be crystal clear about what this means. You're not just the homeowner, you're the general manager of the entire operation. You're coordinating the handoff from the design to the construction. There's a big gap in many industries, and building is not much different. You've got the whole design and engineering side, and then you've got the handoff to the production side, and there's a really big gap there that needs to be managed. And this is what we're talking about, is you are in the gap. So you are coordinating the handoff from design to construction, like I said. And you might want to go back into episode 27, when we talked about construction documents and the critical transition moment. You're managing that transition. You're the one making sure the baton passes smoothly. And what I mean by that is the last stage of the design process is called construction documents, or sometimes people call them construction drawings. This is the final stage of what your architect and your designers and your interior designer, engineers, and consultants prepare, is a complete set of construction documents that gets converted into your quote-unquote bid set of plans for you to get costs. So you facilitate the communication between your contractor and your architect when questions arise during construction. And believe me, questions will arise. And if they don't, that's a good time to run from that particular contractor or builder. Because if they're not asking questions, things are going to come up that should have been asked. And that means they probably haven't studied the plans to the level of detail that is required when you go to provide a bid for a complex single-family residential custom home project. You will make the final decisions when the professionals disagree, and they will disagree. So you're going to have to participate in all of these interactions. At least I highly recommend that you participate in all these actions so that you are aware of what's happening. And don't forget, there's only one person that bears the financial risk if information is incomplete or wrong. That, take a guess, that's you. When you're hiring your architect and contractor separately, when you're taking this traditional construction method, you're taking on coordination responsibility. That comes with both power and risk. The power to make all decisions, the risk when things fall through the cracks. And as you can imagine, if you are going to be right in the middle, you're going to be literally orchestrating your dream home, which happens to be the subtitle of my book, little plug there, The Awakened Homeowner. You need to know how to read the music. You may not know how to play all of the instruments in the orchestra, but you need to know when something sounds funny and to be able to call it out and say, tell me more about that. Why does that sound like that? What is going on over here? And one of the biggest things that falls through the cracks, budget communication, because here's the reality. If you don't share your real budget number with your architect up front, they're designing to your wish list, not your wallet. And that's not their fault. That's on you. Now, I know that some of you are thinking, hey, Bill, this sounds like a lot of responsibility. Why would anyone choose this path? Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about next, because the self-guided path comes with three powerful forces that might make it absolutely perfect. All right, here's what most people miss about the self-guided path. When it's done right with the right homeowner, it's not the budget option or the default option, it's the strategic option, because the self-guided path gives you three powerful forces that you simply cannot get with the guided design build path. So let me walk you through them. So force number one, maximum control, and I mean maximum. You select every professional independently based on your criteria. You can interview five different architects and choose the one who's the best fit for your specific project, not the one who happens to work for a design build firm. You can interview several contractors, get competitive bids, and choose based on value, not just price. You're looking at qualifications, experience, communications, the communication style, references. And you're making the choice. You control the design process. Your architect works directly for you with no construction bias, no internal company pressure. They're focused entirely on translating your vision really into a reality. You control the bidding process. Multiple contractors are competing for your business. You're seeing different approaches, different pricing strategies, different timelines. And if someone isn't performing, you can change the team members. Now, this gets complicated. You can't just fire your architect mid-design without consequences. But you have options that don't exist when you're locked into a single design build company. So, you know, here's like a real life example. You know, I had clients a few years back who were designing a highly contemporary home. Very modern, very clean lines, lots of glass, flat roofs, the whole contemporary aesthetic. They interviewed three architects. The first two were great architects, very talented, but their portfolios were heavy on traditional residential work. Beautiful craftsman homes, Mediterranean villas, you know, that kind of thing. The third architect specialized in modern residential projects and even did some commercial projects as well, like retail spaces, and absolutely nailed the contemporary aesthetic these clients wanted. His portfolio showed exactly the kind of clean, modern design they were after. So in a design build firm, you're limited to their in-house design team or their preferred architects. Self-guided, you can cherry pick the specialists who's the perfect match for your project. Now, in my experience operating a design build business for decades and decades, I was able to overcome this one specific challenge about having one designer on staff that had a very set architectural style that they preferred or they gravitated towards. I had multiple designers working for me. So in a lot of the projects that I did a lot of very large residential remodels and renovations in the Silicon Valley area, and I had multiple designers. And I was also very careful about the designers that I hired to make sure that they did have kind of a broad, diverse style, or they could at least respond well with what the client's style was. So you have to be careful when you're interviewing design build firms to make sure that there are either more options within the firm for the design so that you can make sure that they can generate and produce the style that you like. That's a really big, big thing to understand when you are interviewing design build companies. And of course, in the self-guided path, you have a lot more freedom to be able to go out and find, but you also have a lot more work and a lot more understanding to try and hunt down these people that are like your perfect fit. So you're just going to have to make a decision at some point. Am I the type of person that wants a lot of help and doesn't have a lot of time, then you're going to go into the design build guided path. And if you're not, if you really want to dig in, have a lot of experience and spend hours scrutinizing, searching and scrutinizing for architects and designers, then self-guided path might be a good choice for you. So to be clear, this maximum homeowner control over the construction process means you're not locked in to one company ecosystem. You're picking best-in-class professionals for each role. So force number two, optimal visibility. So this force number two I call optimal visibility. You see everything happening in real time because you are the hub connecting all the spokes. You attend every design meeting. No decisions happen behind closed doors. You're in the room when your architect presents options. You're part of the conversation. You review every bid side by side, complete transparency on contractor pricing. You see exactly how contractor A approached the project versus contractor B versus contractor C. You see exactly where the money goes. Itemized proposals from independent bidders. You're not getting a single lump sum from a design build firm. You're seeing line item breakdowns that show exactly what things cost. And you know, when professionals disagree, you're in the room when conflicts surface. So here's the difference. In design build, costs are developed internally. The design and construction teams work it out behind the scenes, and you see the final number. Here's what your project will cost. The self-guided option, you see three different contractors' approaches to the same project. One contractor proposes premium windows but standard cabinets. Another proposes standard windows but premium cabinets. A third proposes mid-grade everything but throws in the upgraded countertops. You're seeing the trade-offs in real time. You're making informed decisions about where your money goes based on your priorities. Is the views out those windows more important than the custom cabinetry? You decide because you're seeing the actual numbers. The optimal visibility into your building process means you understand not just what things cost, but why they cost what they do. You're learning, not just improving. Now, one of the things that's really important about a self-guided path that you would take is, of course, you're heavily involved in the middle. You are the hub of all the spokes, and you should know a little bit about what you're doing. But one of the things that's really critical, and really critical in both paths, but especially in the traditional path, the self-guided, the accuracy, the thoroughness of the plans and the material specifications are especially important, because you're going to be handing these plans off to three or four different contractors to provide you a proposal to bid your project. And your expectation is that you want them to provide a proposal off of these plans, and you want to be able to compare one contractor to another. So you don't necessarily want a lot of deviation from the plans, at least in the beginning, until you're able to obtain all the proposals, review them, scrutinize them, and then maybe make some decisions. And hopefully you've got many questions that have been presented to you by the three different contractors, and you can assemble all of those. And that goes into the bidding process that I'll be talking about later. All right, let's talk about force number three, increased accountability. Now, the increased accountability, this one's a bit paradoxical, because stay with me. Competitive bidding creates accountability. Contractors know they're being compared against other contractors. They know they need to sharpen their pricing, be thorough in their proposals, and present themselves professionally. You're creating competitive pressure that can work in your favor. Independent professionals have separate reputations at stake. Your architect's reputation isn't tied to your contractor's performance. Your contractor's reputation isn't tied to your architect's design. Each one is protecting their own professional standing. If you structure it right, and we'll talk about this in a bit, architects can act as your advocate during construction. They can review the contractor's work, ensure it matches the design intent, and catch problems before they become expensive mistakes. And keep in mind, too, that if you do want to be the type of homeowner where you are the hub, you are in the middle of it, and you are interested in the whole process, you can hire your architect. And this is usually kind of outside the scope of normal architectural services to get a set of plans and specifications created. But you can hire your architect to help you facilitate the bidding process by vetting contractors, by submitting the plans for bids, by reviewing bids versus the scope of work. So keep in mind that there is kind of like a hybrid version if you truly are interested. The design build process, though, the guided is also a really good solution if you just want to, you know, budget's maybe not at the top of the priority. It is important, but you really want to just have somebody just hold your hand all the way through the process. And that's where the design build can really come in handy for you. So like I said, you know, you've got three or four contractors reviewing the same plans, identifying the same potential issues, asking the same questions, or maybe even asking different questions. And that redundancy helps surface problems early. So it's almost like the bidding process can act as an additional quality assurance program for you. And if they spot something in the plans that doesn't make sense or is incomplete or a specification is absent from the plans, hopefully they ask. And pay attention to the ones that ask more than the others, because that means they're probably reading the plans more. So there you have it. Control, visibility, accountability. Three powerful forces. But, and this is critical, these forces can come with trade-offs and responsibilities. Let's talk about what you're taking on.
All right, quick reminder, everybody. Everything we're talking about today and so much more is in the Awaken Homeowner book. At less than 0.1% of your project cost, it's the best investment you'll make. Grab your copy on Amazon and keep it by your side throughout your entire project. Trust me, you'll refer to it again and again.
Okay, so we've talked about the power. Now let's talk about the responsibility. Because here's the reality. The self-guided path can be incredibly rewarding or incredibly stressful, depending on whether you understand what you're signing up for. Let me walk you through the four biggest coordination challenges. All right, let's talk about challenge number one. This is the design to construction handoff. This is where the $200,000 mistakes happen, and I'm not exaggerating, and here's how it goes down. Design progresses without contractor pricing verification. And here's the critical part. This usually happens because the homeowner either didn't share their budget with the architect or they shared an unrealistic budget. Now, that's not always the case. Sometimes homeowners do take effort to share their budget or how much they want to invest in their property. And somehow, some way, that gets lost in the excitement of the design and get blindsided. So maybe you said, yeah, we're flexible on budget. Maybe you said, let's see what it costs. Maybe you gave a number, but it wasn't your actual limit. It was wishful thinking. So your architect designs based on your vision, your wish list, your imagination, your inspiration images, and it's beautiful. It's exactly what you wanted on paper. The design gets completed, you get permits, everything looks ready to go. Now you send the plans to your contractors for bidding, and the bids come back, and they're 40% over your actual budget capacity or how much you really wanted to invest in the property. Now you're stuck. You've already paid your architect maybe $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 for design work, sometimes a lot more for very high-end custom jobs. You've already paid for permits, perhaps, but you cannot afford to build what was designed. So what are your options at that point? Option one is scale design back. Pay your architect again. Another $10,000, $15,000 to redesign. Reduce the scope, simplify the details, then resubmit for permits, which cost more money and more time. Option two, find cheaper finishes and materials. Compromise on quality. Maybe that beautiful custom tile becomes a standard tile. Maybe those hardwood floors becomes luxury vinyl. You're building a lesser version, you know, of what you design. Or option three, increase your budget. Drain more savings, you know, take on more debt, create financial strain. None of these options are really that great. And all of them are really expensive. So going back to my Macmillan Tale of Two Homeowners, I called it, in the prologue and epilogue of my book, and I even have a episode here in the podcast where I tell the whole story because people were asking about it. And the Macmillans, you know, the success story from my book, they avoided this nightmare because they had an integrated team. Their architect and their contractor, well, their design build team, were coordinating costs during design. No surprises. And then Ben and Jane, they lived this nightmare. Their architect, Bob, like I said, gatekeeper, designed a complex roof system, custom steelwork, premium finishes, all beautiful, all expensive without coordinating the costs. And when the bids came in, they were devastated. So real example from my own career. You know, I had clients who hired a very talented architect, beautiful design, got it permitted, sent it to five contractors. Every single bid came back $150,000 to $200,000 over what they, you know, told me their actual budget was. Why? Well, when I asked them what they told their architect about budget, they said, we told them we were flexible, you know, and wanted to see what it would cost. And so the architect designed to their wish list, complex roof system, multiple levels and valleys. Like I said, custom steelwork for the canopy, premium finishes, blah, blah, blah. Gorgeous on paper, expensive to build. So who's at fault? Honestly, both. The homeowner didn't communicate a firm budget number. The architect didn't push hard enough for that number, and both assumed it would work out. It didn't. They had to pay the architect another, you know, $15,000 to redesign and simplify and resubmit for permits. They lost 4 months of time, and honestly, they lost some of the magic, right, of their original design. So that's kind of the handoff nightmare. This design to construction coordination challenge is the single biggest risk in the traditional construction method. And it starts with you being crystal clear about budget from day one. It's not enough to say, I want to stay around X. Your architect needs to know, this is the absolute ceiling. Help me design the best possible project within this number. So that's the handoff risk, right? This is when you break these services apart, you now become immersed in the middle of it. And if you don't know that this needs to have attention paid to it, that you can do budget checkpoints during the design process if you decide to do the self-guided option for your path because you want to be heavily involved, there are ways to mitigate that problem, and that is sharing your budget goals, your investment goals, and that is doing budget checkpoints with your architect, with builders during the design process. And I've talked about this many times in the previous episode. So it's not all doom and gloom if you decide to go that path. But I just want you to be aware that there's ways to manage that if you do that. But there's a lot of other aspects of the self-guided path that can blindside you. And this is why it's best for homeowners that have a lot of time, a lot of interest, and experience. So that's like the handoff risk. But even when you prevent that disaster, challenge number two is waiting. Your time commitment, and you will hear architects talk a lot about this, about their clientele, is the clients that invest the time, communicate well, do their own research, their own due diligence, and work with the design team have the best experience. And also the architects and the designers and the builders have the best experience. But what I'm talking about is right now in this number two challenge is specifically your time, because you are the hub, you are the coordinator, and the coordination takes hours, weeks, months. It can be considered another job, right? And it can be a fun job. You're building your dream home. It can be really, really fun as long as we achieve our goals here at the Awakened Homeowner, which is to enlighten, empower, and protect you. And I'm still on that mission, not giving up. So your time, you know, you are attending separate meetings with your architect during the design phase. You're meeting with your interior designer separately and with the architect. You might even be involved in some of the structural engineer and other consultant meetings so you can understand what you're getting yourself into for your big renovation or your new home. And then you'll have separate meetings with your contractors during the bidding phase, and then weekly construction meetings. Even each meeting is 2-3 hours by the time you drive there, meet, drive back. You're facilitating information exchange. Contractor has a question about the plans, they call you. You call the architect. Architect provides an answer. You relay it to the contractor. You're the conduit. And I want you to keep something in the back of your mind about this whole process, and I'll do an episode about this in the future, is you can hire your architect as a construction administrator. And a lot of times construction administration begins with helping you with the bidding process, but also will hold your hand and the contractor's hand all the way through the construction process and kind of be your advocate, be your agent during the construction process, and pay attention to everything that's being built to make sure it's being built to code, to plan, per the design that the architect envisioned, the right materials are being installed, and that goes on and on and on. Architects will even review the progress payment requests that contractors submit. So keep in mind that if you truly want to have that self-guided experience, you can supplement that with an architect or a designer you can ask them to provide an optional construction administration in their proposal, and then you can make an informed decision about that. And if you're building a complex custom home project, especially if you're building it out of the area of your primary home, I highly recommend that you consider having your architect pay them whatever they need to do the construction administration, because they're probably going to save you money in the long haul. And they're going to make sure that your expectations are met. So if you're in this whole self-guided option, you're the conduit of information back and forth, back and forth. And it's kind of a good thing too, because now you know every single thing that's going on in your project and your, you know, dream home that might be a once in a lifetime thing. The other thing you're doing too with your time is you're reviewing bids in detail. You're not just looking at the total number at the bottom, you're actually comparing line items across multiple proposals. Why is contractors A electrical bid 10,000 higher than contractor B? And what are they including that the other isn't? You're making decisions, you know, when maybe professionals disagree. Should we use this flashing detail or that one, this window type or that one? You're researching, learning, deciding. You're managing schedules, ensuring design completes on time so that the bidding can happen. You're ensuring bidding happens efficiently so construction can start as planned. Can you see we're talking about a job here, and you're learning at the same time if you haven't done this before? So you got to keep in mind that, you know, you've got to keep in mind the realistic time, you know, estimates here. 10 to 20 hours per week during active design and bidding phase, not to mention all of the research time that you'll be doing on your own for products and materials and finishes. Perhaps you need to find other design professionals to help, like interior designers, kitchen and bath designers. So it's not just for meetings, it's for research, for decision making, for problem solving, you know, when conflicts arise. And, you know, I've had clients do this where, you know, I had one client that was a successful business owner, very smart guy, very capable, because a lot of the stuff we're talking about is project management, which could apply, those principles could apply just about to any project management position in any industry. It's a lot of the same ideas, same principles, but he thought it'd be easy for him to coordinate everything. I manage teams at work. How hard can this be? You know, and then 6 weeks into the design, he calls me exhausted. You know, Bill, I'm spending 15 hours a week in meetings, on phone calls, making decisions. I'm falling behind on my own work, and I just didn't really realize how much time it's going to take. You know, he was discovering that managing a building project as the homeowner coordinator requires substantial time investment. It's not passive, it's active project management. In this industry, you just don't want to cut somebody loose on your, you know, $1 million investment or whatever. You have to really be on top of people to make sure that they are building things properly, to code, and you can't just rely on the building inspectors 100% to ensure that all that's happening. You know, another challenge in this self-guided path is managing professional disputes, right? Time is one thing, but challenge three is what keeps people up at night, disputes. When your architect and your contractor don't agree, guess who's refereeing? You are. The architect says the design is complete and buildable. The contractor says critical details are missing. Who's right? You have to figure it out. And the contractor requests changes during construction. Architect says those changes compromise design intent. You know, do you allow them? You decide. Something goes wrong during construction. The architect blames the contractor's execution. They didn't build it according to the plans. Contractor blames the architect's design. It's a, you know, it's the whole pointing fingers thing, right? The plans didn't account for this condition. Who pays to fix it? You're stuck mediating without the technical expertise to know who's actually right. So this is why relationships and trust matter enormously in the self-guided construction path. You need professionals who communicate well, who assume good intent, who solves problems together rather than pointing fingers. So the best mitigation, hire your architect for construction administration, like I just mentioned. That means they don't just design and disappear. They provide oversight during the design. They provide oversight during the build. They review the contractor's work. They answer questions. They ensure the design intent is being followed. They become your advocate and your technical expert during construction. I know I'm repeating myself there, but I can't emphasize that enough. All right, let's move into challenge number four. You know, disputes can be stressful, like I mentioned, but challenge four hits your wallet directly, and that's the old change orders. In the self-guided path, you bear the financial risk when information is incomplete or wrong. Now, that's not to say you can't have recourse with your design professional, but that's not usually the case because this is an ongoing relationship. So in design build, the guided path we talked about last week, one team owns the complete package, right? So if something's missing from the plans, if there's an error, if there's a conflict, they typically absorb that cost. It's their responsibility to deliver a complete, coordinated set of documents. In the self-guided, if your architect's plans are incomplete, your contractor issues a change order and you pay. And this is where a lot of people get into trouble because they go out and try to find, you know, the best deal, quote unquote, they can get on plans and not hiring, you know, qualified designers such as licensed architects. They're hiring draftspeople and they didn't even know they were hiring draftspeople. They thought they were hiring a qualified designer. And you kind of get what you pay for here. And there are consequences to having inferior plans and specifications. So unknowns come up. It's not the contractor's responsibility to find these problems before the construction begins. They may find them and ask you questions and clarify it before they provide the proposal. They may not. I mean, these guys are busy people. They don't have time to be your quality control person. So they're going to just bid it per the plans, submit you the proposal. And then when they go out there to remove that wall that you wanted to open up the space and realize that it's impossible without major structural beams, guess what? Phone rings Monday morning. I can't do what you want to do. Let's get your designer involved. Designer gets involved. Oh, I didn't realize that. And comes up with a revision that's a, you know, $25,000 change order to accomplish the primary objective of the design. This happens all the freaking time in this business. And it's very frustrating. And part of that is because of unqualified designers, inexperienced homeowners. It's like the perfect storm. And we're trying to not put you in that position. So be careful when you start thinking about tackling all of this yourself without help. It doesn't mean you have to go to the design build model, but you might need help with an owner agent or having your designer oversee the construction, having a structural engineer review the plans before you actually go out to bid and go before you go get permits. So, you know, so if your contractor misses something during the bid, discovers it later during the construction, now you're in the middle of negotiating who pays for that oversight. Unfortunately, contractors will come to homeowners, and I don't agree with this, but contractors will come to homeowners and say, oh, I'm sorry, I missed this on my bid. I'm going to have to charge you more. That might even be illegal, but it's certainly immoral and not very good business practice, but it can happen. So now you might get into some debates because you are in the self-guided path. If you make changes during construction, and yes, you can make changes, you're negotiating pricing with no internal cost basis, really, to verify if the price is fair. You just don't know. And that's, again, where your architect might want to chime in for you and say, hey, what's going on here? So there is industry data out there that shows that traditional construction, this self-guided thing I'm talking about, can see 10 to 30% more change orders than design build projects. And that gap is the coordination gap. It's the space between independently hired professionals, your builders, your designers. Your best protection, complete detailed construction documents and thorough contractor vetting, both of which we'll talk about in a few minutes. So those are kind of the four big challenges with the self-guided path. And the handoff, where budget disasters happen, the time investment that's way more than most people expect, managing disputes between professionals who don't work together normally, and bearing the financial risk when things fall through the cracks. So these aren't deal breakers. They're realities. And for prepared homeowners, they can be manageable, but you'll need to go in with your eyes wide open. So now, hopefully you're getting the idea and you're getting an idea of the power and the challenges. Let me tell you exactly really who's perfect for this path. Hey, I've got a quick announcement. I'm building something I'm really excited about called BuildQuest. It's an AI-powered planning assistant named Quinn that guides homeowners through every step of planning their home project, from figuring out your budget to creating your design package to hiring the right professionals. Think of it as having me sitting next to you throughout your entire planning process. We're not launched yet, but if you go to buildquest.co right now, you can reserve your spot to be an early beta tester. Early adopters get special pricing and lifetime benefits. buildquest.co, check it out. All right, so after hearing all that, the power and the challenges, you're probably asking yourself, Bill, am I cut out for this? Should I take the self-guided path, you know, or go with the guided path we talked about last week? It's kind of a good question, right? At this point, let me give you the framework to answer it honestly. So let me paint you a picture of the homeowner who absolutely thrives on the self-guided path and see if it kind of sounds like you. First, experience. You've completed projects before, even smaller ones. Maybe you remodeled a bathroom. Maybe you finished a basement. Maybe you managed a commercial build at work. You understand how construction works. You know what questions to ask. You can spot BS from a mile away. Second, time availability. You have, 10 to 20 hours per week to dedicate to this project during the design and bidding phases. Remember, I'm in this mode of larger scale remodels and custom homes that you're planning. And that's real time, this 10 to 20 hours. It might even be more. Evenings, weekends. So it's not, I'll squeeze it in. It's not, I'll make it work somehow. You actually have those hours available. You can attend meeting, review documents, research decisions without sacrificing your job, family, or your sanity. Third, your disposition. You're organized, you're detail-oriented, you're comfortable making decisions with incomplete information. You don't panic when conflicts arise. You solve problems methodically. You document things. You follow up, follow up, follow up. And then fourth, connections. You have trusted referrals for design and construction professionals. You're not just Googling architects near me and hoping for the best. You've got names. You've got recommendations from people whose judgment you really trust. And the enjoyment factor is the next one. This is huge. You actually enjoy learning about construction. You find it engaging, not torturous. You want to participate deeply. You want to make strategic decisions. This isn't something you're dreading. It's something you're excited about. And then sixth, the project type. Your project is relatively straightforward, not a whole house gut remodel, not a complex custom home with challenging site conditions. Maybe it's a kitchen remodel. Maybe it's a room addition. Maybe it's a bathroom renovation. Clear scope, manageable complexity. And that said, if you are planning a custom home project, a brand new custom home project, it's not to say that you can't take this self-guided path to it. In some respects, building a new home can be easier than remodeling an existing home. And for obvious reasons, all the restraints and existing conditions that you have to fight with. But the project type is going to directly relate to your experience for your decision on the path that you're going to take. So those are some basic principles of an ideal self-guided homeowner. And the ideal candidate for the self-guided building approach has some combination of experience, available time, strong organization skills, and trusted professional connections. No single factor really disqualifies you, but the combination matters. All right, so let's do this. Let's go through some self-assessment questions, and let's make this more concrete. So you can ask yourself right now, and answer them honestly, not how you wish you'd answer, but how you'd actually answer today. Do I have 10 to 20 hours per week to dedicate to this project during the design and bidding phases, not to mention the construction part? If the answer is no, you're already stretching yourself thin. If your job is demanding, if you've got young kids and every spare minute is precious, that's a strong signal towards a guided path. If the answer is yes, if you genuinely have that time available, if you can protect it, if you can show up consistently, that's a check mark for self-guided. How about this one? Have I successfully managed a construction project before, even a small one? The answer is no. That doesn't automatically disqualify you, but it does increase your risk significantly. You're learning the language, the process, the realities while you're coordinating. That could be challenging. If the answer is yes, you understand what contractors mean when they talk about change orders and submittals and allowances. Here's the next one. Do I have verified, trusted referrals for both an architect and a contractor? If the answer is no, you're starting with significant risk. You're vetting strangers can be hard. It's not impossible, But if you listen to some of my previous episodes and upcoming ones about how to vet design professionals, we can put you in a good place. But you got to remember, you don't know what you don't know. So it's hard to formulate questions when you don't fully understand the process. But if the answer is yes, if someone you trust says this architect is fantastic, and this contractor is reliable, you've dramatically reduced your selection risk. How about this one? Does the idea of coordinating between multiple professionals energize me or exhaust me? And you got to be honest, does the thought of being in the middle, facilitating communication, making decisions, resolving conflicts, does that energize you or does it sound exhausting? If it sounds exhausting, be honest with yourself. That feeling will multiply 10 times during the actual project. You'll be living it for 6 months, 9 months, maybe a year or more if you're building a big home. If it energizes you, though, if you think, actually, I kind of enjoy that, I can handle it, you might thrive with the self-guided path. I like this one. Is my project relatively straightforward or is it highly complex? Is it a simple kitchen remodel, bathroom renovation, room addition? Self-guided can work great. Whole house remodel, complex custom home, major structural changes, challenging site conditions, the guided path can reduce massive risk. But don't be afraid to go with the self-guided path. But when you get into the bigger, more complex projects, position yourself by having your architect help you with the construction administration, the bidding process. Bring in a general contractor, a home builder during the design process, or maybe more than one, and consult with them. Pay them. Consult with them to help you with this process because they're a whole nother set of eyes and ears listening and watching what's going on with the design process. And they can really be of value and worth paying every penny for their help. So just because a project's larger does not necessarily mean you need to just automatically go to the design build guided path because that doesn't necessarily work best for bigger projects either. So these self-assessment questions, I found help homeowners make an informed decision between traditional construction and the design build process based on their actual situation. Not assumptions or, wishful thinking. Now, when self-guide is actually better, let's talk about that. All right, so you've assessed yourself, but here's one more critical piece. There are specific situations where self-guided is actually better regardless of whether design build is available. And let me tell you when. When you have exceptional professional referrals, so you know the exact architect who's perfect for your aesthetic. You know the exact contractor who specializes in your project type. Don't dilute that with a design build firm's in-house team. Go get the specialist if you can factor in some of those other elements I just talked about, such as your time. If competitive bidding is important to you, this could be a strategic reason to go down the self-guided path. You may have budget constraints. You need to see the market pricing. You want leverage to negotiate. Three competitive bids give you information and power, but don't forget that if you don't have thorough, complete plans and specifications, that you're not getting questions asked by your designs and especially your construction professionals, your competitive bidding could be way off base and you could end up inadvertently selecting the wrong contractor because you find out they didn't really include everything. And, when you're experienced and you enjoy the coordination effort, this is something, that some people really do enjoy. Perhaps you do that in your job, your everyday job, and you feel like you can tackle it. You like being the general manager. You really want to learn all about this process. There's some things and there's some people that they don't want the design flexibility constrained too early. They really, truly want to explore their options and ideas. And we would do that with clientele. We would ask the question, how much do you want to invest in your home? How much do you want to invest in this project? And a lot of people would scratch their head. And it's not necessarily that they didn't want to share their budget. They genuinely didn't know. And it's because they haven't been able given an opportunity to see the value in the design solutions prior to designing a project. So with that case, we would ask the client, well, there's one other option we have, and that is, We cannot let the budget constrain us to the begin with and show you what the possibilities are. I mean, within reason, right? We're not going to build a four-story house and put a basement in it. Maybe we are, but we can come to you and show you the possibilities, and then they can decide if that's a valuable solution for them. We can do preliminary budgeting. So this self-guided option can be a really good solution for people like that. But maybe budget's not the top priority. It is still up there, but you don't want to handcuff your designer too early to propose design solutions. So that's another one that I feel's really ideal for the, well, that principle actually could work for design build and, you know, the guided and the self-guided path. So keep that in mind when you're considering what path you're going to take. Keep it in mind when you're talking with your design professionals early on. All right, Hal, let's talk about when to avoid self-guided. I mean, here's where, you know, you should strongly consider the guided path instead. Maybe it's a big, huge, gigantic project, and you have no experience. It's your first big project. You don't have any time. You're traveling for work, you're demanding job, your kid's at home, no trusted referrals. Maybe it is a really big project. Like I talked about, you just have a low risk tolerance, right? You don't want to get in the middle and have a lot of things coming at you that are going to blow your budget out of the water. And maybe you have a design build firm with a really exceptional reputation and you trust them. That might be another reason you go that direction. So if all these factors describe your situation, you know, the traditional construction methods, coordination challenges might outweigh its control advantages. So the guided path reduces your risk significantly. All right. So now you have the complete framework, right? You understand what self-guided is. You understand the power it gives you. You understand the challenges it brings, and you understand whether you're built for it. You now have the framework to make decisions intelligently, not based on your budget alone, not based on what your neighbor did, based on who you are and what you're prepared to take on. And I'll call that making an awakened decision. Now, let's talk a little bit about strategies for the self-guided success that you should take if you really think you're going to want to do it. I'm going to give you like 7 strategies here. I'm trying to make it quick here, but will dramatically increase your odds of success. And these go back 35 years of doing this, seeing all of the different ups and downs and horror stories. Strategy 1, and I've said it a million times, complete your discovery steps before hiring anyone, including establishing your real budget or your investment goal for your property. Don't hire an architect until you know what you want and what you can actually spend. Do the personal profile work, the property profile work, the dreams and visions work, and critically budget your framework, your real budget. Not, man, we're flexible, we don't know, let's see what it costs. Get down to kind of a real number. And when you hand your architect a completed discovery package, that goes back to my very first episodes in this podcast. It's the whole first section of my book. And this is kind of the secret of the Awakened Homeowner methodology. But if you complete this package that includes your honest budget number, here's who we are, what our property offers, here's what we want to create, and here's what we want to invest in this property. They can design efficiently, accurately, and responsibly. Your architect kind of becomes your budget partner, not your enemy. There's not this like looming thing that everybody, it's like the elephant in the room that nobody really wants to talk about or address. You've got that on the table. It's fresh. And, you know, maybe it's the point where they say there's no way you could do your project for that. In fact, that frankly happens a lot, but at least you're getting it out on the table and then you guys can talk together about solutions. But you know that they're starting to work with your constraints to create the best possible design within your means. Or you may ask them to provide you options that you hadn't thought about that might exceed your budget, but you really want to understand the value of those, like I talked about earlier. And this whole process I'm talking about, this discovery process, is what I'm building into the BuildQuest application that I'm developing, that we're deep into development now. You'll be able to just do all this within minutes on the application and find your pros. And it's going to be really exciting. But that's coming soon. That's not out yet. Trust me, if you sign up, at least join our mission here, I will add you to the list to do a beta testing. Here's a strategy too. Demand complete construction documents. Incomplete plans equal change orders equal budget disasters. And go back to some of my episodes like 27 where we talked about construction documents. The complete package of drawings and specifications and details, demand that from your architect. And that's normally what they would provide. But if you start to get a ton of questions from a builder or contractor, now you're starting to figure out that maybe those plans aren't thorough enough. Here's a strategy. 3, engage a contractor during the design for the early pricing. This is a big one that people, it's just more work for you. But not only do contractors come in and are interested, especially if you compensate them for a consultation fee, but they're also great value engineers. They can say, well, have you thought about this? They can do preliminary budgeting. It's not set in stone, but at least you know it's, you know, $500,000, not $200,000. And that one of the things too is a lot of architects, most architects, have a little group of builders that they work with. And now we're killing two birds with one stone, right? We've got an architect recommending a builder, and that builder's, you know, because there's a relationship there, is usually more apt to participate than somebody out of the blue that doesn't know if they're ever going to get compensated for their time or ever get even get the project. Through in my design process episodes, I talk about the budget checkpoints, and there's two of them during one in schematic design, one in design development, where you can stop and pause and say, oh, this is great. Look how great this design is. Can I afford it? And start bringing in the contractor. The other one, the next one, strategy 4 is hire your architect for construction administration, right? And we talked about that. That's a really good person to lean on. Strategy 5 is you're able to get multiple bids and compare intelligently. And I'm going to get into the bidding process deeper into the podcast here. That I'll give you specific instructions on how to go about doing that. Strategy 6, invest in detailed contracts so that you understand, everybody understands the scope, the payment schedules, the change order process. And I don't think I've talked about that yet, but that's coming too. And strategy 7, you want to have good communication systems in place so that you can manage the process yourself and document regular weekly meetings. Nowadays, you can even do Zoom calls and you can record the meetings and download the transcript and dump it into AI and tell it to summarize it for you. I mean, there's so much productivity tools out there. All the more reason why a homeowner could tackle a project on their own with a lot of the AI solutions out there. So those 7 strategies are your playbook. These are going to help you tackle this project path, if that's what you decide to do. All right. So with all that in your back pocket, let's wrap this up. Over the last 2 episodes, episode 42 on the guided path and today's episode on the self-guided path, I've given you the complete framework for making one of the most important decisions in your building journey. How are you going to structure your team? This choice is personal. And here's what I want you to understand. There is no universally right answer. Both paths work. Both can lead to amazing results. Both can lead to disasters. The question isn't which is better, it's which is better for you. The guided path, design build, gives your team a streamlined coordination, built-in accountability, faster timeline. You're paying a premium for convenience and integrated expertise. Maybe it's a premium. Everybody still has to get paid in both paths. It's your level of involvement and the time that you have and the expertise that you have, which is a big part of your decision-making process. I'm not going to say it's a big difference in price because it may not be. The self-guided path, traditional construction paths, gives you maximum control, competitive bidding, complete visibility. But you're taking on more time commitment, right? And you're bearing that coordination risk. Your choice depends on your experience, your time, your project complexity, your trusted referrals, and your personality. So there's really no formula. It has to do with this honest self-assessment. And when you're going through your discovery process early on and you have this information at your disposal, be thinking about this in the back of your mind. How much do I really want to put into this? How much can I put into it? So choosing between design, build, and traditional construction, it's a strategic decision based on your unique situation, not a question of which project delivery method is objectively superior. So as you think about your path, Here's what I want you to do next. Whether you choose guided or self-guided, your next step is the same. Complete your discovery work. You can go to Amazon. You can download my book if you want. You can listen to the free episodes that I've talked about all this. If you read the book, you'll see the discovery section in the beginning. And then at the end of the book, you'll see me talking about the guided and self-guided paths and my framework there. But I've used this episode to really expand on that. And like I mentioned, I've got an application coming. If you want to sign up for that when I launch it, I'd love to have you because you've been a loyal listener. And you can always email me too. I'd like to get emails at uwreid, it's R-E-I-D, @theawakenedhomeowner.com, and I read every message. And sometimes that gives me topics to talk about. And I love to hear from you. So you can also DM me on Instagram or Facebook or somewhere. Just remember, both paths work. The question is, which is better? It's which is better for you based on your experience, your time, your project, and your personality. Hopefully you're going to be able to make an informed choice. All right, so that's what I have for you today. I'm Bill Reed, your home building coach. Let's go make it happen. Thanks for tuning into The Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab The Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.